Good morning. It is so good to see all of you here today on kind of another beautiful day. I think we're going to have like yesterday. And I love the spring days in the 70s. And so we're so glad that you're with us today. We want to welcome all of you. We want to welcome those that may be listening online later in the week and welcome them for being a part of our service. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking a little bit as we continue in 1 Peter. We all face growing pains, and we'll be talking about that. Well, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria this morning. Together for our call to worship there in the bulletin. God is our shepherd.
God leads us all the way.
God leads us to green pastures and by still waters.
God restores our lives.
Goodness and mercy go with us all the time.
Thank you, God. We have hope in you forever.
Yes, we do. Thank God for that. Well, let's join together there. 542, if you want to use your hymn book, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin this morning. Good Shepherd, enliven this time of worship that we may be restored as we join with others, praising your name, celebrating your great goodness, and sharing your love for all people. Amen. And you may be seated. The choir is going to come and sing. Pray for us. David woke up with a temperature this morning and is sick. He was not feeling good Wednesday when we had practice, but we said we were going to go ahead and sing. And so I got to make sure a few things are in order here.
Some saying yes and some saying no. Parker Kelly, you got a split house. Yes. I guess maybe I'm ready for school to be out. I got some more subbing days to do. But I'm glad you're here today. Now, who do you think, and I don't think it's going to matter, your answer, who do you think has helped teach you things as you started growing up and got a little older and, you know, they've been teaching you things to be able to how to do things? Who are some of those people? Who do you think? Okay, your teacher, yes. So like your schoolwork, ABCs, 1, 2, 3, your addition, subtraction, all those kind of things, yes. What grade were you in? Okay, yeah. And doing some writing, holding your pencil straight in the proper way. Okay, who else?
Mom and Dad,
okay. What are some things, let's start, what are some things Dad helped to teach you with? I bet I can think of one. Something you've been doing here in the last year that's been pretty exciting and fun. Well, maybe it's not in the last year. Can you think of what I'm thinking? You get inside of it, and you push it, and it's got a steering wheel. And you go real fast. But you know what? Didn't your dad help you do that? He's saying yes. What is it? He's drawing blank. Hey, I'm glad I don't know what was that. I can draw blanks all the time. So, your go-kart. Huh? Isn't that exciting? I saw a picture of you doing that. Yes. I remember the first time that I rode one. I can't remember who it was. I know it wasn't my dad. It was probably one of my friends or somebody or my brother. The first time I rode one. What else? What's something else? Or, I'm sorry, somebody else. And then what did they teach you? Has anybody taught you how to make pancakes? Cookies? I can remember my grandma teaching me how to fry burgers in the skillet and making homemade french fries in the pan with oil. Ooh, that's good. That's good. Now, do you remember? Did you use powdered sugar?
No.
Okay. So, when my mom taught me about French toast, she didn't say anything about powdered sugar either. But when my sister-in-law, Melanie, taught me how, she put that powdered sugar on there, and I thought I went to heaven. Powdered sugar? And syrup sugar? Oh, that was so good. So I've never made French toast without powdered sugar. Now your mom probably may not want you to have all that sugar. And maybe that's why my mom didn't either. Till I got older, yeah. Okay, somebody else. Grandma? Is something they taught you? Yeah, my grandma taught me, now you got to realize I was young, and this is way back, and grandma and grandpa had an old style washer. Some of you here might remember this. When it got done, we pulled it out of the tank and stuck it through the ringer, and I had to turn it. And that's, and I thought, oh, this is fun. And when it went through, when the, your clothes went through the ringer, it got all the water out of it, and then we put it in a basket. Guess what we did with it next? Hung it out on the line outside so it dried, because Grandma and Grandpa Wafer didn't have a dryer. And then I remember Grandma turned in the crank, and she goes, you feed the clothes in. But she said, watch your fingers, because if they go in there, they'll pinch you. So I did it, fed the clothes in, and then she went through and then squeezed it. Now, one day when you probably get a little older, I'm assuming none of you have been taught this yet by your mom, is you'll be taught how to wash your clothes. So she doesn't have to do it anymore. Now, my mom always did mine, but she taught me how to do it before I left for college. So, yes, so it's great to have somebody teach us things. And you're going to find out that as you go through life, there's your parents, your grandparents, teachers, one day in college, professors, friends, one day at work, somebody's going to teach you how to do something. And you're going to have people all through your life that are going to help you. And you know what they're helping you to do? Grow up. Grow up. So that you don't make mistakes. Now, when you get to be teenagers, you might think mom and dad don't know anything. Maybe you think that now, I don't know. But they do know lots of things. Lots of things. And a lot of times when they tell us not to do something, it's so we don't get hurt. Or they, one day your dad might talk to you about money and finances and all that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like fun, does it?
But guess what? You don't want to make mistakes in that area. Because one day you're going to have a job and you're going to be making money and you've got bills to pay. But it's good to have people that do that. And in Scripture, Jesus helps to teach us so that we don't make mistakes in life. So that we don't suffer. Because nobody wants to suffer. Sometimes we suffer because we make bad choices, wrong choices. Have you ever had to teach? No, maybe you don't answer it. But I'll look at your facial expressions. Have you ever had the teacher say, Maren, you need to make better choices in class? No, see, she says no. Good. But I've seen when I've been in class where the teachers have said that to kids, even at the junior high and even at the high school. You need to make better choices. Why? Why do teachers tell us that? Because sometimes our choices can get us in trouble. But also, sometimes our choices can be a blessing because we make good choices. And that's all part of growing up. Growing up physically, emotionally, you know, our thoughts and our feelings and all that, but also spiritually with God. And God's there to help us, and Jesus is there to help us through all of that. Okay, you can head on down. I know I went a little longer there today, but we're going to go to time of prayer, and maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning. Before we go to prayer, let somebody do that. Who wants to start? Oh, we'll go back there. Yep. Who's that?
Andy.
Oh, Andy.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
I don't know the results yet.
Okay.
Jim Cabalt, Gene's son, we want to keep praying for his cancer. He's doing good. And Gene. And then Bernie Taylor, we want to pray for him in Georgia. And then Carol Pratt. I don't know how many knew her, but she passed away.
What was the last name?
Kraft. Okay, that's what I thought she said. Okay. Wanted to make sure, so we want to
remember. Kaplan just retired from the Army after 35 years. He was in the Pentagon, and he was a lieutenant colonel.
Okay, so there's lots of them there that we want to remember. Dan, Andy, Jim, Gene, Barney, Georgia, and the Kraft family. With the loss there. Somebody else. Yeah.
Unspoken.
Okay. Someone else.
Yeah. I've got two. Linda and Terry Erickson. Terry was told by the doctors 3 weeks ago he'd be dead within 3 days, but he's hanging on. And the family of Troy Hulk, he lives down in Mount Sherman, where, Kentucky, where I came from. He was a young man, and he suffered depression, went to the gas station, got some racing fuel, went home, doused himself, and he's gone. And his family needs our prayers.
What was the last name of the family?
Hulk. H-A-U-L-K.
And the baby.
Okay.
The baby.
Oh, and there's another one we've been praying for a while about this baby that was being born with the organs outside of his
yes.
body. It was born at 6 o'clock in the morning. They put the organs back in the body. They didn't sew them up. But the doctor said, let's do a family photograph. So they wrapped the baby up, later on, laid him on Mom's belly, and Daddy, the doctor, and all of them got together, and they took a picture, and that baby smiled, as if to say, God did it, I'm here.
Good. I thank you for sharing that, because we had not heard anything for a while, because we prayed for a few weeks there about that. Somebody else. Yes. Yep.
Unspoken.
Somebody else?
Unspoken.
Okay. Spoken. Someone else? Yeah.
I have a joy that is probably one of the best planting seasons we've farmers have had in years.
Good. I'm glad. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. Somebody else?
Greg Baker.
So the medicine that he's taking, the chemo medicine, is making his blood pressure go up to 200 over something. And they got to figure out, they've stopped it, and they got to figure out that along with another medicine he's taking. And they got to figure out, so please pray for Greg, for healing, but also for wisdom for the doctors, and that they can figure out how to get that to work, so as they're trying to treat him. Anybody else? Yeah.
Yeah, my friend Linda, they just found out that she had more cancer in her body, and she goes tomorrow to see exactly where and what they're going to do for it.
Okay. I thought I saw another hand. Where am I? Yeah.
A Thompson family over in West Mountain. Their son has rare cancer.
Yeah, that's the one, Gage. Thank you. Gage. In fact, I put him, you'll see him, he's in the new monthly calendar, the prayer list, Gage, who has been diagnosed with cancer. So, yeah, and we want to remember him in our prayers. We prayed for him last week, and so Somebody else? Anybody else this morning?
Brad and I need travel mercies. We'll be leaving this week to head to Kansas and see our son.
Yay. That'll be exciting to see him. So, yeah. And I'm sure here in another month or so, we'll have more people that'll be traveling. And so, anybody else then, before we go to prayer? Lots of different names there this morning. And we want to remember all of them. And maybe some of them pop into your mind. And we want to, so when she plays, you'll be able to pray for them. And then I'll come and close us out. As we pause this morning, we're grateful for your goodness in our lives. We're grateful for your presence that graces us in all that happens and all situations, whether good or bad. You are there with us. You don't forsake us, and that you are there helping us to grow through everything in life, that we might be faithful people that are anchored in you, our good shepherd, as we talked about in our call to worship this morning. God, thank you that we can bring our petitions to you. And we do that this morning as we think about those that have been mentioned and brought up. We think of Jody today going in for surgery tomorrow, that you will just guide and direct the surgeon's hands, be with her. We lift up David to you this morning, and Dan this morning, and Andy, and Jim, and Jean, and Barney today, and Georgia, and Greg, and Linda, and Terry, and that little baby, and for Linda, and Gage this morning. God, we lift up each one of these, and so many of them that are on our monthly list, Lord, that just need your healing touch. They need faith and strength, God, through everything. And grace them, Lord, with your presence, God. And we just ask for healing touches. We pray for wisdom and guidance with doctors and all that's going on there. We lift up each one of them and we commit them into your hands, God. And we know that you are faithful. And so we trust you today for each of them. Lord, we lift up the ones that are traveling. Brad and Carla, as they're going out to Kansas, be with them. Give them a safe trip and bring them back safely to be with us again. We think about our Secret Service agents and our officials in our administration, Lord. And just so many of them. We think about our men and women that are serving all over the place, especially those that are on the ships in the Middle East right now. And we ask that you watch over all of them, keep them in your care. And Lord, we pray for wisdom and guidance for our leaders. We pray for peace, Lord, and all of that, and be able to work out some of those situations that need to be worked out. Lord, we do lift up the three unspokens and maybe some others there today that couldn't mention, but maybe lifted up something to you. Lord, we stand with them today, asking for your presence, your grace. We lift up the Kraft family with the loss of this loved one God, that you would give them your peace and comfort today and be with them. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon the rest of the time of our service as we break the bread of your word. May you just encourage us and strengthen us and challenge us in our faith that we can walk fully with you in all our ways. And we're so grateful and thankful for all these things now as we ask him in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy Thank you for joining us in prayer. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. And each week as you give, or every other week or monthly, however that is. And that continues the work. And God will bless us through that and for that. So as our ushers come today, God bless you. Thank you. let's join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. Generous Shepherd, we thank you for the care you give us. Bless the gifts we offer so they may spread your abundant love and life. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, our scripture reading is once again coming from 1 Peter chapter 2. It kind of skips ahead in the lectionary because a few of these verses appear in another year in the lectionary. So we're going to just follow along with what's there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. Now, it is a sign of grace if someone is aware of God and should endure pain through suffering unjustly. But what praise comes from enduring patiently when you have sinned and are beaten for it? But if you endure steadfastly when you've done good and suffer for it, this is a sign of grace before God. You were called to this kind of endurance because Christ suffered on your behalf. He left you an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, nor did he ever speak in ways meant to deceive. When he was insulted, he did not reply with insults. When he suffered, he did not threaten revenge. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He carried in his own body on the cross the sins we committed. He did this so that we might live in righteousness, having nothing to do with sin. By his wounds you were healed. Though you were like straying sheep, you have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your lives. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word this morning, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, a Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her 5 and 6 year old class. After explaining the various commandments, she was talking about honor thy father and thy mother. And she asked, is there a commandment then that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters? And without missing a beat, one little boy answered, thou shalt not kill. Now, that's going to go counter to the message I'm going to talk about. I want to talk to you this morning about growing pains. Okay, I was talking to the kids about this, so I'm going to say a little bit about it. I owe a lot to people who influence my life and help me grow. Besides my parents, although I will say a few things about them, my grandparents taught me various aspects of farming, cooking, and gardening. My dad taught me about camping, riding a bike, shaving, skinning a rabbit. Yes, my dad's the one that taught me how to do that. Money and finances. And probably when I was about 7, I cannot remember the exact age I was, I asked dad what that little book in the bathroom was. And he said, it's my prayer guide book. And he talked to me a little bit about prayer and how he would go into the bathroom in the morning and pray and read scripture. My brother taught me about cattle, about driving tractors. My sisters taught me how, in fact, my sister Kathy, I think back there, I think maybe, and maybe my dad, I can't remember which one was first, taught me how to mow the lawn. But they also taught me how to get away with things. And as I was mentioning, my mom taught me how to wash clothes before leaving for college. Various Sunday school teachers and pastors taught me about faith. One in particular, Mrs. Knock, Pastor Knock's wife at Kettlersville, when she used to teach in Sunday school and VBS, she had an impact on my life when I was a little kid about faith and how we can walk differently than everybody else. And she talked about the crab that walks this way instead of this way. A lady named Margaret taught me about fasting and prayer. Various professors, Dr. Bibb, who was instrumental in a lot of my pastoral theology thinking, and Dr. Evans, who first perked within me a desire to learn biblical scholarship and studies. Yet I had to face my own growing pains, both physically and emotionally and spiritually. And I'm sure that's probably true, and we could probably stop and take the whole rest of the service and we wouldn't even get through three or four that you could tell me about people that made an impact in your life. As we look at this morning about growing pains, I'm going to look at it in two ways. The first deals a lot with what I just talked about, people that influenced me. And then the latter is going to talk about what about when we're suffering and what happens there. So let's begin by talking about growth steps. Growth steps. Now, obviously, there's a lot of steps in growing in life and a lot of things that impact us through all of that. But the first one I want to talk about is growth requires people. Growth requires people. That's what I was just talking about. All those people that made a difference in me. More often than not, we grow through the influence of others. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So when we sharpen one another, sometimes when we butt heads, or when somebody encourages us or prays for us or teaches us something, when we sit under the feet of others, and that means to be taught, they instill things in us. Jesus, our parents, our grandparents, our siblings, our teachers, friends, mentors, pastors, professors, or anybody else that we come into contact with. We need people who make a difference in us. And here's the key thing, and I hope, because the kids are downstairs now and we're all adults, I hope we don't ever think we've arrived, but that we always keep that teachable spirit to learn something new. And I'm not just talking about spiritually, but in all kinds of areas of our lives, that we can be better at our work jobs or our using our gifts or whatever it may be, and always be teachable. Because I have found that God's always teaching me something new, even when I look at the same passage 100 times. So, here's the other part of this. Sometimes growth involves pain. Pain. Now, this is not the fun part of growing. But pain can be a catalyst for developing character and endurance and strength and wisdom and maturity. I was talking to David Maxson before choir practice on Wednesday night, and he said, you should see the difference in my grandson after boot camp. It's different as day and night. What's he learning? Discipline. And that comes through instruction, but it also comes through pain. And now he's going to be moving on, and that growth is going to come through instruction that he's going to receive. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, we read this a couple weeks ago. Even if it's necessary for you to be distressed for a short time by various trials, this is necessary so that your faith may be found genuine. In God's eyes, growing pains can be a sign of grace, as our reading today talked about. A sign of grace. When it says this, it's a sign of grace if someone is aware of God and bears up under the pain of unjust suffering. Why? Why is it a sign of grace? Because when God is working in us, it can help us to turn our adversity, trauma, and suffering into strength, wisdom, and maturity. Nobody wants to go through things. And listen to me, I'm not saying God brings those things into our lives. Sometimes things happen in our lives, but God is there in the midst of them with us. And God can help us to take those things that are adverse and traumatic and suffering and turn it into strength and wisdom and maturity. And this process, and this blew me away. I read this week, and I don't even remember who said it. I think it might have been one of my commentators. I don't know. But it says that the process requires accepting pain rather than masking it. And that hit me like a ton of bricks, because if you know me, and I've said some things about that before, I do not like to be in pain. I don't think I could have been a first century Christian and dealt with what they went through in the first century. I don't think I could have. I've thought about that. But God's grace in us helps us to accept the pain and use it as a catalyst for self-revelation, personal development, rather than, listen to this, justification for toxic behavior. And so key elements may include building resilience, cultivating endurance, and sometimes taking responsibility when we have to. Here's the thing, if we kind of summarize this up, sadly, people and pain may go hand in hand at times. Now, let's talk a little bit about that, because this kind of pain is the hardest to accept. On one level, when we're dealing with pain and suffering, we all understand bad things sometimes happen. The wind blows down your tree, it falls on your car, it falls on your house, you got to call the insurance, it's going to cost money, you know, all those kind of things. Or an earthquake may wreak havoc in a city. Or a child or friend may be diagnosed with cancer. It's hard enough to come to grips with just those things. But on another level, it's even harder still to understand why some people want to inflict pain in us. Maybe a boss, a coworker, a friend, a family member, a politician, or even a pastor. The list of things can almost be endless that people may try to do to us because they feel better about doing it, or they have their own toxic issues, or whatever you want to say. And that pain is not fun, because you thought they were your friend. Here's the thing I want you to see this morning, through all of those growing steps. Jesus understands. Jesus understands. Why? Because Jesus, as Peter said there, is our example when facing such misery. And sometimes it is misery. When we were going through the book of Job before we started into Matthew currently, we talked about the misery that Job went through and how many times that Hebrew word appears in that book. And misery is an English word that conveys two ideas, pain and evil. But notice what Peter says there. You were called to this kind of endurance because Christ suffered on your behalf. He left you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin. Darn it, did he ever speak in ways meant to deceive? Jesus, think about that for a second. Jesus was betrayed, abandoned by his disciples. He was tried. He was denied. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was crucified. Yet he never sinned. Now, I cannot say that I have ever done anything like that. But what I am saying is Jesus knows what it means to suffer this kind of pain. And the interesting thing, I'm going to bring this out, is, well, let me say it this way. How did Jesus deal with that? How was Jesus able to do that? Here's what I want you to see. Jesus entrusted himself into God's hands, or to God. He drew near. Let me read it again. When he was insulted, he did not reply with insults. When he suffered, he did not threaten revenge. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. In other words, God is our vindicator. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, not us. Now, if you're like me, when I'm insulted, the natural inclination in me is to insult back. But Jesus chose another way. That word there, entrusted, that I used and picked out, the Greek word there is the exact, listen to this, it's the exact same Greek word used in the crucifixion story where Judas betrayed Jesus, or literally betrayed should be handed him over. So Peter is telling us that even though he was handed over, Jesus handed himself over to the Father and said, take care of me. And he committed himself to God, the shepherd and guardian of our lives. Facing such pain and suffering can either draw us closer to God or it can drive us away. Jesus drew near. He let God fight his battles. And we too can draw near and experience Christ's strength and grace in the midst of what we're facing. The choice is ours. Let me just share a few words. You won't know who this is and you won't like this music, so don't go try to find it. There is a song by a band that I like. It's a rock band. And Matty Mullins is a Christian. And he wrote these words, and I want you to hear what he says. God only knows the hell you've been through. And who could understand? No one's been in your shoes. It's always too much. It's never enough. There's nowhere to run when you want to give up. Hard to find hope when you're living to lose. I can see it in your eyes. Fighting for your life, suffering inside, taking one more breath just to survive. Pain will be your guide to peace that you can't hide. It's always darkest just before the light. If you can see the other side. I don't know what you're facing today, but somehow if we can practice what Jesus is talking about here and Peter's talking about, and know that God knows, we got folks that are there with us that can help us through those times, the body of Christ, and we can entrust ourselves and commit ourselves into God's hands and say, Lord, you got to fight this battle because I can't do it on my own. I'm weak and I need help. And somehow, if we can live like that, I think we'll baffle people. I know people that I've met that have suffered greatly and kept the faith and kept sweet, kept loving. They were champions in my mind. And I can't say I've always been that way. Growing pains. Amen. Amen. Well, take a couple minutes and greet one another this morning. And then we will close out by singing our chorus there, Gentle Shepherd. This morning. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need your help to find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come and us, for we need your strength from day to day. There's no other we can turn to who can help us face another day. Gentle Shepherd, come and find our way. Well, benediction this morning. Go in the peace of Christ. May God lead us to places of rest and renewal. May Christ give us courage on the journey, and the Spirit grant us joy and kindness this week. Amen. Yes.
You can.
Well, you know,
it is kind of nice. I know a lot of churches where they go along there. Yeah.